When I arrive just after 5:30, I have no scruples about being late when I'm not meeting my husband. Maxime is already waiting inside. Despite the warm weather, he is avoiding the terrace, where he could be seen. He's also married. I sit down opposite him, and then there's nothing more for me to do, as Maxime takes care of everything, signals to the waiter that we're ready to order, keeps the conversation going, compliments me on my skirt, asks me if I want another drink when I finish mine. He puts on a show. Is this how I seem to my husband? That I'm trying too hard? His attempt at seduction is clumsy. It's clear that he's attracted to me. Why doesn't he pretend otherwise? Why not act more aloof? Has he not learned anything either? Despite his efforts, I can't muster any interest in him. My husband thinks I'm at a faculty meeting, so I have at least 3 hours, which risks feeling very long if I have to listen to Maxime talk the whole time. I can't help but compare him with my husband. My husband would never have brought up our children in such terms. Unlike Maxime, he doesn't say the little one or the older one, but always calls them by their first name after clarifying that our son is the eldest. My husband would never have ordered an espresso at this hour, and he hates short-sleeved shirts, even in summer. I can't help but pit them against each other. This man has nicer eyes, but my husband is taller. No matter what I do, my husband is my reference point, my measuring scale, my sea level. I look Maxime straight in the eyes to avoid having to speak to him. I don't have much to say, and remaining silent at least makes me seem mysterious. And it's not a disagreeable sight. Maxime has nice eyes, honey mixed with green. His gaze struck me right away when I met him during a parent-teacher conference. He was one of the few fathers there. I have only one desire, to drink a shot of tequila for courage, but I ordered a Perrier like him. Even sober, I can't chicken out now. I've been flirting with him over text for months. I've already accepted a drink, so I have to keep going. That's the rule I've set for myself. So I place my hand on his thigh. My eyes riveted to him and my hand on his leg send signals with consequences I can no longer control. Suddenly, I realize that this man's desire for me is so violent that he will not be satisfied with caresses on the knee or languishing stares. It's already too late. At this stage, he doesn't even want my mouth, even though he's never kissed it. A kiss would be an insufficient outcome for this game that has already gone on too long. So as we are speaking, he puts his hand up my skirt, finds my underwear, and moves it aside to put a finger in me. I stiffen, despite the evidence of my excitement seeping onto his fingers. Maxime has booked a room in a hotel near the train station. When I enter, I automatically make a beeline for the window. I observe the passers-by, the couple sitting on the terrace of the restaurant on the corner. Maxime wrests me from my daydream. Why are you running to the window? Are you identifying the exits like on an airplane? Are you already trying to flee? You know you can leave whenever you like. You don't have to do anything. Under the sheets, the pressure of his hand on my arm takes me by surprise. Maxime doesn't push down, but he doesn't graze me either. I think he's caressing me. My husband isn't very tactile. He doesn't like long embraces, and when people touch him, it tends to make him uneasy. We obviously engage in physical contact. He holds my hand and kisses me on the forehead, but a prolonged stroke along my body to signal his tenderness? I'm not sure he's done something like that for many years, not since we began seeing each other. My husband makes love to me by putting me on all fours. I don't think he's caressed my arm in at least the last 4 years. I shiver upon contact with Maxime's palm. I suspect things will go further. My body still holds the memory of his finger in me. But for now, all he's doing is touching my shoulder, and I'm already picturing the most indecent acts. It's absurd, but it's true. Just Maxime's hand on my arm seems more obscene to me than all the pornographic images on the internet. sex with Maxime is a series of surprises. I am surprised by the way my clit melts under his tongue. I am surprised by his question when he puts on a condom and asks if I still want to. I am surprised by the shape of his penis in me, hard and pointed like a razor clam, almost cutting. Intertwined, we roll around on the bed. The more we make love, the more I want him. That he's already inside me doesn't at all appease my desire. On the contrary, it arouses it. We climb on top of each other and grab at each other, and above all, we talk to each other. He whispers crude words in my ear. He says he loves seeing me get wet, come, groan. He loves my breasts and my ass. His vulgarity puts me at ease. I don't have to make love like a bourgeoise. He is not at all bourgeois. He reminds me of the boys from my neighborhood that I slept with as a teenager. Maxime is not disgusted by my desire, by my fluids, by my groans, by my lewd words in response to his. He leaves my body to bury his tongue between my legs, then in my mouth. Then it's his fingers, then his tongue again, then his penis is in my mouth. I didn't know that you could mix everything together like that, inverse the order. He tells me that the vision of my perfectly manicured nails on his penis excites him. That and my massive diamond ring, I imagine. His nose is buried in my neck while he's inside me, his hand under my head. It takes me several minutes to realize that his hand is there to protect me. I'm on my back, Maxime is on top of me, and the top of my skull now grazes the edge of the wooden night table connected to the bed. Maxime placed his hand there so that I wouldn't bang my head. I'm overwhelmed with emotion. I burst into tears. Tears that I don't recognize, that don't correspond with any category I'm familiar with. These are neither tears red with rage, nor translucent tears of sadness. These tears are like a cascade, the breaking of one of those immense dams in South America that I've never seen. I'm crying for a continent where I've never set foot. Apologizing, Maxime runs to the bathroom for a tissue and hands it to me. After a few minutes, I managed to articulate clumsily, "You put your hand on my head so that I wouldn't hurt myself." Maxime doesn't know what to say, his penis dangling between his legs. Faced with my flood of tears, he thought he was witnessing the sudden remorse of a married woman or a total panic attack. He doesn't understand how a hand placed on my head could elicit such distress. "I wasn't going to let you hit your head." He hands me a glass of water. As I drink, my tears stop, as though the only remedy could be more liquid to drown out my cascade of tears. "You're a little oversensitive, huh?" he says finally, rubbing my back. My muscles relax one by one. I regain my calm. After a few minutes, I lie upside down on the bed, my head by his feet. "Join me at the North Pole?" I ask Maxime with a smile back on my face. He laughs, grabs the two pillows, and lies down next to me after opening the window. The scene is serene. The late afternoon light shines on the bed. The trains approach and grow distant again with a regular sigh. The smell of rain wafts up to our floor. Maxime's hand is on my arm again, pornographic, the incredibly soft duvet against my skin. "What makes hotel sheets so soft? Is it the detergent they use in industrial quantities? Their enormous washing machines that boil everything at high temperatures? Their dryers that leave the sheets as warm as though they just came out of the oven?" As the light caresses my face, I feel the desire to take a nap, lulled by the sound of the trains. Maxime gives me an incredible urge to sleep, proof that there is nothing between us. When you're in love, you want to talk to each other, see each other, be together. But when you sleep, you renounce the other. To sleep is to stop loving a little bit. That's why I've always been angry when my husband falls asleep so quickly in my presence. Maxime's fingers leave my arm to stroll along the edge of my breasts, around my belly button, between my thighs. I start to touch him in return, but he stops me, grabbing my wrist. "Don't move. Let me." He asks for only one thing, that I look at him while he touches me. I stare into his eyes for another few moments, then I take refuge in his neck when I'm too close to coming. I'm afraid the orgasm will escape, that it will slip between his fingers. So I tell him to keep going, harder, faster. When I start to moan, he orders me, do it, come. It's the first time someone has said something like that to me. Is having an orgasm really something we can demand of someone? Apparently, yes. In any case, it worked. I come under his fingers, my head buried in the pillow. This time, he hasn't even slid my underwear down my legs. As I hook my bra, Maxime calls to me softly. Do you know that you have a mole on your lower back? He continues, hesitant. I'm not a doctor, but you should have it checked out by someone. It's a funny color, almost purple. I'm mortified. Maxime must think no one ever sees my back. He must think that my husband doesn't make love to me anymore. He must think I'm one of those married women whose husbands haven't touched them in months. He must think that that's why I'm in this hotel room with him. He takes a photo with his phone to show me. The mark is, in fact, a strange color. I thank him and assure him I'll go see a doctor. Then I delete the photo from his phone. We're committing adultery, after all. I find myself face to face with a photo of his wife. I apologize for this invasion of his privacy. I didn't intend to see it. I didn't realize that deleting the photo from his phone would automatically show me the one before it. Maxime blushes and feels like he has to confirm what I didn't have the courage to say aloud. That's Clémence, my wife. His wife is very beautiful. So one can be unfaithful even to a very beautiful wife. All the more reason to worry about my own marriage. They are on the terrace of a restaurant. His wife is wearing a pretty yellow dress and smiling at the camera, a glass of red wine in her hand. My husband has no photos of me on his phone, so I have a hard time imagining the scene. What sequence of random events could have led to the existence of this photo? What happened that night between Maxime and his wife? They've just finished their meal, they're waiting for the dessert menu, and suddenly he thinks to himself, my wife looks so beautiful tonight that I absolutely must immortalize this moment. I want to preserve the memory of this smile and this light for all eternity. Or maybe she suggested he take a photo to send to their family WhatsApp group, or to a couple of friends who recommended the Italian restaurant downtown as a cheeky thank you. But no, Clémence's smile is intimate, her head slightly tilted. She's gazing tenderly at her husband. The photo doesn't seem meant for anyone but him. It also doesn't look like she's just come from the hairdresser, so she wouldn't be asking him to take the photo to show off her new color to a friend. It's nothing like that. I think Maxime must have spontaneously photographed his wife just because he wanted to. While Maxime is in the shower, I grab his phone. How many photos does he have of his wife? Photos of specifically her, without their children, taken of his own initiative on his phone when they're alone together with no purpose other than to preserve a memory. But his phone is locked and I don't have the code. After 3 unsuccessful attempts, it's blocked. I say a few words to Maxime through the bathroom door before leaving. I exit the hotel feeling lighter. I had a good time, even if I know it wasn't for real, as the kids say. It was nice, but it doesn't count. The hookup will not be fruitful or productive. No child, no marriage, no ring will come from this afternoon spent with Maxime. Even the photo of my back, the sole souvenir of this moment, has been deleted. Nothing remains of the two of us. It's the sad conclusion I arrive at each time. I often try to take a lover. These rendezvous have only one aim— to ease the romantic pressure that weighs entirely on my husband by dividing it among several people. That's why I never feel guilty for being unfaithful. How could I, when I do it out of love for my husband? Plus, I know how to set limits. I've never cheated on my husband on any day but Thursday. It's not the color of betrayal for nothing. So I flirt over text, I agree to meet, I wear a pretty dress, I get waxed, I let myself be penetrated a few times, but I would be better off facing facts. Despite my best efforts, I've never managed to develop feelings for a stranger. I am truly incapable of having a real affair.